الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic Studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or somewhere taking notes. And keep in mind that the only text that you are required for this particular class is Quran. You can go to Quran.com, that's Quran.com, and of course, get it for free online and follow along with me, or you can buy your own Quran and conveniently take it around with you and go and refer to it anytime you want to and read it anytime that you want to. By the way, those of you who have been attending this week's Islamic class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be a pretty simple topic. It's about Allah is aware of all that you do. And sometimes people think that they do things and Allah is not aware because they're by themselves and they're in a dark place. They're in a place where no one knows them and they think they're getting away with what they do. But keep in mind that Allah is everywhere and He knows everything. He is fully knowledgeable, all forgiven and most merciful too. And so I want you to keep that in mind as you go through life. Right now, some of you might be in your car alone or some place where you're alone, maybe even sitting in front of a nice cool water, a balcony or something like that, and all by yourself. But know that you're not by yourself. And I'll show you various proofs from Islam that know you're not by yourself. Keep in mind, as I mentioned this before in one of our former classes, that Allah can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So you can certainly see what you do and hear what you say. So be careful about what you do and what you say, because Allah is recording, or the angels are recording these in your book. So let me move on. Abu Bakr Siddiq, who was the father-in-law of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, "When the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, and I were in the cave," and I'll give you a little background about that, because when the prophet was told, okay, leave Mecca and go to Medina because they were being treated in a bad way in Mecca. And so he told his people they couldn't really practice their faith fully and didn't have really any freedoms there. And they were being abused there, harassed there. And so they made hijrah, or they left Mecca and went to Medina. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, after his people left, and then he left with his companion, Abu Bakr Siddiq. And they left, and of course they were pursued by the people who were the Quraysh, who really were out to destroy them and were the ones harassing them, and they wanted, of course, kill them. And so they hid, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and also Abu Bakr Siddiq. They both hid inside a cave. And then, as I continue to read, and it said, "I saw the feet of the polytheists who were above us at the mouth of the cave." This was on the eve when they made hijra, immigrated from Mecca to Medina. "I submitted, O messenger of Allah, if one of them were to look down below his feet, he would see us. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Prophet said, O Abu Bakr, what do you think of the two whose third is Allah? So I want to also relate to you all that in this particular cave, his daughter, the Prophet's daughter, will bring them food, or serving or others will, I'm sorry, will bring them food, and they knew where they were, and so they would bring them things. And so the Prophet Muhammad and his father-in-law Abu Bakr, they went into the cave, as I mentioned before, and the people came to the cave. And one of the reasons they did not go into the cave is that Allah had made two simple things: one insect and one was an animal. In other words, the insect was a spider, and he made a web at the mouth of the cave. And then, of course, the animal, which was the bird, made a nest where the entrance of the cave. And then the ones who were going, the polytheists were going to hurt them, they saw the web undisturbed at the mouth of the cave, and also that no bird would make a nest near the mouth of a cave where people will harm it or do anything to it, where it will be in danger. And so these two simple things, the web of a spider and the nest of a bird, these simple things protected the Prophet Muhammad and his companion by the will of Allah. And then the Prophet Muhammad, of course, Abu Bakr was worried, you know, they're going to see us, they're going to kill us and the like. And then he said to him, O Abu Bakr, what do you think of two whose third is Allah? In other words, we're not alone. Allah is with us. And so Allah is aware of everything that's going on. Even as I speak, Allah is aware of what I say. And then the angels are writing down what I say. And I get into those things later on. And so I have to, of course, watch what I say and watch what I do, because I'm going to get into this later on about my body and my tongue and everything and skin and all testifying for me or against me. And so, again, remember, if you are one, then Allah is the second. If you are two, Allah is the third. If you are three, Allah is the fourth. And so always keep that in mind, that Allah is there with you. And so keep that in mind. As the Prophet said, you know, be at ease, Abu Bakr. We have to worry about it because Allah is with us. He's protecting us, and we have to worry about these people that are above us. Keep in mind, and also what you all can go to is chapter 41, verses 19 through 23. Again, in your book, open it up, your Quran, and go on to chapter 41, verses 19 through 23. And I'm kind of going to kind of skim through it, if you will, because our time is limited. And so it talks about basically, and I'm going to paraphrase, and talk about when Allah gathers the people together, those before us, and then of course ourselves, and we're going to be all gathered together. And then what will happen is that the person or the people's ears and their eyes and their very skin will bear witness against them concerning what they have been doing in this world. They will say to their skins, why have you bore witness against us? They will reply, the same God, meaning the skin, the same God who has given speech to everything has given us speech. And he it is who created you in the first instant. And how to him, or now to him, you are being brought back. When in the world, you hid yourselves while committing crimes. You never thought that your ears and your own eyes and your skins would ever bear witness against you. And of course, keep in mind, my beautiful students is that here is talking about how your ears and your ears and your eyes and your skin will bear witness against you, or bear witness for you. Oh Allah, this man, he prayed. You look at his forehead. He prayed. He made the wudu, the ablution, and he prayed to you at least five times a day. He gave charity and 'cause seeking your help and your forgiveness and your aid and your blessing, he gave charity for this. And so these are all the things that will be mentioned by our skins, or our bodies, or our eyes, or our hands, before us or be against us. And say, Allah, he did not make his prayers. Oh Allah, he did not pay zakat. Oh Allah, he did all kind of crimes. And so, of course, we will ask our skin, our hands, and our eyes, why are you talking against us? And they can do nothing but submit to Allah and do what Allah tells them to do. And to the rest of this particular verses, it talked about, rather you thought that even Allah had no knowledge of many of your deeds. The same thought that you had concerning your Lord has ruined you. And on the same count, you have incurred loss. And this is the last part of this particular, these verses that I read to you. And it talked about, of course, about you had the thoughts that you had, and also these thoughts have ruined you. The things you did have now caught up with you and has ruined you. And really, you ruined yourself. Your hands, your mouth, your eyes, your ears, they can't do anything unless you do those things. You hear what you hear. You say what you say. You see what you see. Your arms hug what they hug. Your feet walk to what they walk to. Your legs walk to what they walk to by you doing it. Not by they doing it on their own. But on the day of judgment, Allah will command these things to talk and be for you or be against you. So do all the good that you can. Right now, you may be alone, getting ready to do some kind of wrong act and doing nothing but ruin yourself. And doing things going against you, that will go against you in this world or in the next world. And so, my students, please keep these things in mind, that you're not getting rid of, you're not getting away with anything, because your body could be for you or your body can be against you. So just be aware of that. And I mentioned before in some of our previous episode, that several episodes really, about the recording angels or the angels that write down our good deeds and our bad deeds. And so you can look at, now you go to chapter 50, verses 16 through 18. That means 16, 17, and 18. And it talks about what I talked to you before. This is your proof for me, a proof from Quran, really, about the recording angels. And here they call them received angels or receiving angels, but basically the same thing, recording angel. And it says, and read along with me, and indeed we have created man, and we know what his self whispers to him. And we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. And the jugular vein is kind of in your neck area, like the side of your neck. Remember that the two receivers, meaning the recording angels, receive each human being. One sitting on the right and one sitting on the left. Not a word does he or she utter that there is a watcher by him ready to record it. So again, my beautiful students, keep in mind that we, each of us, each and every one of us, we have an angel on our right shoulder, angel on our right or on our left shoulder, writing down our good and bad deeds, recording everything that we do. They're as close to us than our jugular veins, than the veins in our body, in our neck. They're that close to us and ready to write whatever we say, or whatever we do, that's their job. And the angels, no bargaining with the angels and giving and trying to get this deal with them. It doesn't work like that. They are going to do their job, and that's all they do for the rest, as long as you live. That's their assignment, is to be on your right shoulder, writing down your good deeds, and be on your left shoulder, writing down your bad deeds. And they, at no time do they skip it or say, I'm not going to do it for him, but I'm doing it for her. Do it for her or against her or vice versa. It's just not going to happen. They are going to do their job as commanded and instructed by Allah. And so please keep this in mind, that you are, again, as I mentioned before, that you are not alone, that Allah is with you no matter where you go and no matter what you do. You're not getting away with anything. And you can say, I'm the best thing on earth, I'm the baddest thing on earth, I'm like Allah, a'udhu billah, may Allah curse you for this kind of thing, and that Allah can give life and give death. Yes, he can. And you may say, I can give life and death. Bring two people. I am so-and-so, all right, this person number one, if you kill this person, and person number two, you let this person live. See, I'm like Allah, I give life and I give death. And as it says in one of the verses in the Quran, and Prophet Ibrahim said to a king, he said the same thing. He said, Allah gives life, and also Allah provides or gives death. And he said, gave the example I gave to you. And then Abraham said, based on all this ayah from Quran, he said, Allah have the sun rise from the east and sets in the west. So what I'm saying to you all that maybe think and arrogant enough to think that you have this kind of power similar to Allah, well, you don't. Okay? You think you have a power and authority, then you make the sun rise from the west and set in the east. If you think that you are Allah, that you are such a great individual, Allah is the greatest. Allah can make things happen. Right, make the sun rise from the east and set in the west. So you think you're like Allah, equal to Allah, and sit on the throne like Allah, similar to Allah? Then you make the sun rise tomorrow tomorrow morning from the west and let it set in the east. You think that you have this kind of authority and this kind of power, and you're going to find out you don't have it. Let me read another verse too that is very important regarding the recording of things that we do. You're not getting away with anything, none of us. And you go to chapter 22, verse 70. Again, chapter 22, verse 70. And it says, Alam ta'alam anna allaha ya'lamu ma fis-samawati wal-ard. Inna thalika fi kitab. Inna thalika ala allahi yasir. And it says in this particular verse, do you not know that Allah is aware of all that is in the heavens and the earth? Certainly all of this is recorded in a book, and it is very easy for Allah to do so. This very simple verse just spells it out for you, that Allah is aware of all that is in the heaven and all that is in the earth. And everything is certainly all recorded in a book, and verily this is easy for it's easy for Allah to do this thing. So keep that in mind, and that's chapter 22, verse 70. So let me move on, my beautiful students. Your words can help you or can help you, like I mentioned to you before, pertaining to writing down your good deeds or your body parts talking for you or talking against you. So let me tell you what I mean by that. And so basically what I mean by that is that the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, said, "Verily, a man may utter a word that pleases Allah, the Exalted, unaware of how highly it will be regarded. And on its account, Allah, the Exalted, the Most Honored, decrees his pleasure of him until the day he meets him. A man might utter a word that angers Allah, the Exalted, unaware of how dreadful it will be. And on its account, Allah, the Exalted, decrees for him his anger until the day he meets him." And so I just want to remind you about what you say from your mouth. Be careful. The best thing is to be quiet or silent. If you can't say anything good at all, just be quiet. You have to talk all the time. It's necessary for you to talk all the time. But you may say something that may allow me to become angry with you. Or again, on the other side, you may say something Allah may be very happy with you. And it also mentioned, you could turn to chapter 29, verses 1 through 3. In other words, chapter 29, verses 1, 2, and 3. And this particular verse in chapters, it says, Aleph Lam Mim. We have no real meaning to that. Allah knows the meaning of those three letters, Aleph, Lam, and Mim. And it says, "Do the people think that they will be left alone after they have once said, 'We have believed,' and they will not be tested? The fact is that we have put to test all those who have gone before them. Surely Allah has to see who are the truthful and who the liars." And so keep in mind that you will be tested. Just saying, "I believe," is not enough. You have to show that you believe in your actions, that you truly believe. And Allah will test you or test us. And it will show, are we truthful in saying that we believe we're going to do the right thing, forbid what is wrong, and enjoy what is right and forbid what is wrong? Or are we going to be the opposite and be the liars and don't do those things? So let me, in our last few minutes that we have, mention something else to you all. And that is, let me sort of take you on a journey. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he went on a journey with Angel Jibril. And so the angel took on a journey. And during this journey, he saw several things. So I'm just going to name a few of the things that he saw. For example, a person missing prayer. And these are basic things you do all by yourself. No one else knows about it but Allah. No one else knows this but Allah knows it. So what happened is that then the Prophet saw people whose heads were being shattered. And then every time they would return to their original state and be shattered again without delay. He said, Oh, Jibril, who are these people? He replied, these are the people whose heads were too heavy on their pillows to get up and fulfill the prescribed prayers. They did not get up for Fajr in the morning, for example, to make their prayers. They were lazy. I'll make it later. I'm not going to make it at all. These prayers are very important. Allah does not need our prayers, but we need those prayers. And if a person is too lazy and leave his head heavy or her head heavy on a pillow and sleep, and we say, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, that prayer is better than sleep. And so the thing is, we don't want to make sleep better than prayer. And so these people had their heads smashed up with the stones, are smashed up on these because they did not pick their heads up from the pillow. So let me move on. And then he went further on his destination. And you're talking about trust of the people. Then he saw a man who had gathered a stack of wood which he could not carry. Yet he was adding more wood to it. He said, "What is this, Mahather, O Jibril? Mahather, ya Jibril." He replied, "This is a man from your community," meaning the Prophet Muhammad community, "who gets people's trust, and when he cannot fulfill them, yet he insists on carrying them. He's not able to fulfill their trust, carry the trust through, but he takes it on anyway." So let's be careful of that. You entrust people, then you do what they entrusted you to do. Do it. You can't do it, then don't do it. Don't take on that. Tell them, "No, I can't do it." But the thing is, you do that, you're responsible for doing what you say you were going to do. Not just pile up stuff, and then people get to a point where they're not going to trust you. Or you're supposed to carry something out, they depend very much on you, but you don't carry that thing out, and so you endanger those individuals. And so let's talk about backbiting. And that is, Anas have reported, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said, during the Miraj, meaning the night of ascension, when he went up to the heaven, "I saw a group of people who were scratching on their chests and faces with copper nails. I asked, 'Who are these people, O Jibril?' Jibril replied, 'These are the people who ate flesh of others, meaning backbiting, and trampled people's honor.'" And so we have to be very careful, my beautiful students, and not to backbite people. Backbite people, that is, you're saying something about people that you know that you, if you said it to their face, they would not want you to hear that. They would not want to hear what you said. But you say it anyway because you backbiting a person is eating the flesh of your brother or your sister. And if what you say, and these are things that are not true, but you say things that are true about that person, you're saying things that are not true about the person, then you're slandering the individual. These things are not true about the individual, and you passing this from person to person to person, that's not true about the person, and then you slander the individual, and this is wrong. And the other thing is that you backbite that particular individual. And then, of course, the prophet saw that the person had these nails made of copper, and that they would scratch their chest and their faces with these copper nails. So I want to remind my beautiful students is that these are what happens to people. These are people that do things and they think they're getting away with it. By no means they're getting away with it. That Allah is fully aware of all that they do. So be careful. Be careful of what you're doing because you're not getting away with anything at all. You done something last night, for example, or earlier before this broadcast, you didn't know, or you did it, you didn't know it, ask Allah forgiveness because Allah is most merciful. Allah is most forgiving. So ask Allah, you're living, you ask Allah for forgiveness for what you've done. But the thing is, you're aware Allah knows that you did that thing, and you ask forgiveness from Allah for what you've done. If you just honor a person, then you ask that person, "Look, I did something, I said something, please excuse me," because either you're going to pay them now or you're going to pay them later, but in some kind of form or fashion, you're going to pay. And so you want preferably you pay now and don't pay later, and you have to pay anything if you don't do anything. So be very careful, my students, that you've been advised or warned, if you want, about an understanding that the law is aware of all that you do, and you're not and myself, of course, included, we're not getting away with anything at all. And so stay away from those things that are not going to be beneficial to you, and run towards those things that are going to be very beneficial to you and to others. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.